The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Megillah has been dedicated by our good friend Mr. Stephen and his wife Gila Israel, a charter member of our Daf Yomi Shi'ud, for the Hatzlacha of both sets of parents. And of course, their dear children. Hashem Yishmerem V'Hayim. And Be'ezrat Hashem, they should have continued success. Haslacha V'Harvacha V'Chol Ma'aseh Yedehem. This Masechet also has been dedicated by Stephen and his wife Le'ilu Nishmat Adel Bat Rosa and Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden Hen V'chol Benot Israel Ashokvot Ammahen V'chol Rahamim V'Selichot V'Nomar Amen. This daf has been learnt in memory of Nat Levi, Natan Ben Salha. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden Amen by Meir Safdi. Skele Mitzvot. Daf Chaf He. Today's daf is being studied by Adon Shmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Rifua Shilema Yosef Ben Sarah. Ella Refanalo, Ella Refanalo, Ella Refanalo Fata Nefesh. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalid Amud Bet, right on the bottom line, starting at the new Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Ha Omer Yebarechucha Tovim Harezu Derech Haminut. The person says, the good men should bless you. So that's already the way of the Minim. Why? That she says, what's the matter with saying that the good people should bless you? She says, "She'enu kolel rishaim b'shbachos shel makom," because she does not include the rishaim in the praise of a kadosh baruch hu. V'achamim lamdu mehelbena. There's one of the spices in the ketoret is called helbena. It has a very bad odor to it, but they still included it in the ketoret. Rashi says, "Shereharra u'mena'ah ketuv ben simamena ketoret shematzlichin ketuv b'hartzatam," which means you don't get accepted unless you have the halbena in the ketoret. Liyotam baguda achat. So the same thing, when a person prays, he has to not only say the good people praise God, everybody has to praise God. Even the wicked must be considered part of the congregation that is going to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Gemara says, if he says only the good will praise you, so that's already, we have to hoshesh that he's derech minut. Al kam tzipor yagiu lahamecha. This is referring to the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, which is the mitzvah of shooing the mother bird away and taking away the children. So if a person makes a prayer, so to speak, and he says, al kam tzipor yagiu lahamecha, that you know, your mercy reaches even the birds, that it's an inyan of mercy that you're chewing the mother, so the mother doesn't have to see when you're taking away the birds, so, but the children, so the Gemara, Mishnah will see exactly why that's no good, which means he's making a prayer, just like your mercy reaches the kansipor, so to hosfer hachem alenu, so to have mercy on us. We'll see what the problem with that is. Ve'al tov yizachir shemcha, and on the good, your name should be remembered. That's a problem, obviously, because you're only blessing God for the good things that he does. And the things that are not so good, you don't bless him. So that's a problem. Modim, modim. Person says modim twice. So Hasu Shalom looks like he's thanking two different deities. So therefore, in all these cases over here, it says meshetekin oto. In all these cases, you got to silence the guy. I mean, you hear somebody say, Al-Kan, Sipor, Yagira. Keep quiet. We don't say that. Or you see the guy here saying, Da'al-Tov, Yizachir, Shimcha. Meshetekin oto. You tell the guy, we don't say that. Hashi, Va'al tov yizachir shemcha, al tovotecha nodelecha. On the good that you do for us, we will thank you. O she'amar shnei pa'amim modim, kishu koreya. Well, he's bowing down to the Amidah, he says modim modim, meshetekin oto. And the Gemara is going to explain it in detail. Hamchane ba'arayot. A person that he doesn't give a literal interpretation to the arayot that are written in Parashat HaHaremot. For example, the Torah says, Ervat avicha, lo tegaleh. Which means, Allah, the Hasbun Shalom, have an ancestral relationship with a parent. And the Torah says it literally, Ervat avicha, Ervat emecha. But he doesn't learn it literally. He learns Ervat to mean you should not uncover the shame of your father. Meaning you shouldn't say something that can potentially embarrass your father. That's what it means. So that's a distorted interpretation of the Pesukim. So it's Hamchaneh, gives a kinui, a euphemistic interpretation to the Pesukim. So Hamchaneh ba'arayot meshatekin oto. Look at Rashi. Hamchaneh ba'arayot. Begemara beferesh shedoresh parashat arayot bekinui ve'omer. Lo erva mamash diberek katuv. And the pasuk is not talking about mamash erva. Ela kinah katuv bilshono. The pasuk is just saying erva as a language, but it's not literal. Vekra ota erva. Hamgaleh kalon abiv. Something that reveals his father's embarrassment. Vekalon immo barabim. Or, you know, he publicizes something embarrassing about his mother in public. Kinui ulashon hefek. When it says the word kinui, hamchane, it's opposite. Kinui means the opposite. You're taking the pasuk opposite of its true interpretation. Fine. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ha'omer, umizara'acha lo titen ha'avir lamolech. There's a pasuk in the Torah talks about that we're not allowed to give our children over to the Avodah Zarah of Molech. Molech was Avodah Zarah where they would take the children and bring them through the fire and sacrifice them. So that's Asur. So Mizara'acha, from your children, you should not give over to the Avodah Zarah called Molech. However, he again misinterprets it and says, Lo titen le'abara be'armiyuta. Right? Do not go with a Goya and bore a child from Avodah Zarah. From the lady of Avodah Zarah. Look at Rashi. Ha'omer umizarachatun avila molech. Lo tavua al kutit. Do not have relations with a kutit. Ve'tulit ben Avodah Zarah. And then subsequently have a child for Avodah Zarah. So in these cases over here, meshetekin oto ben zifa. So here, not only do you silence him, but with condemnation. Which means you have to condemn the person. Why? Because this is a great distortion of the Torah. Because he's changing the halachot. Why? Look at Rashi. She'okera katub memashma'o shu'a avodat chok la'amoreim na'avir b'nehem na'ish, which means he's taking the pasuk out of context. The pasuk is talking about giving the child to the Avodah Zarah. And he's saying, no, it means having a relationship with a goya, and you're having a son for Avodah Zarah. So what's so bad with that? V'noten karet le'ba'al kutit. Because now the Torah's punishment for Avodah Zarah is what? Karet. And now instead, by you misinterpreting, you're giving the punishment of karet, of ba'al kutit. And that's not the punishment. U'mechayev chatat ala shogeg. And if a person went with the goya b'shogeg, you mechayev him now korban chatat, umitat betir ala mezid batra'a. And now you're also saying that if they warned him, this guy that went with the kutit, and they, you know, it was a b'mezid, he's going to get now mitat betin, and that's not so. She's a bala kutit, it's not punishable by karet, not punishable by mitat betin, nor is it punishable by korban chatat. So by him explaining this pasuk out of its context, you're changing the whole punishment. So therefore, b'shetekir to bin zifa, we condemn him when we silence him. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain. B'shlamah modim modim, I understand the problem of modim modim, why it's a problem, the mechzik ishtir ishuyot. Okay, because it looks like Hashem Shalom, there's two deities. Right? Mudim, I thank you, and Mudim, I thank you. So that's not good. Valtovi zacher shemcha namem. Demashma, because I understand why it's no good if you say, on the good, we will, praise your name, or your name will be mentioned on the good that you do for us. We understand why that's not good. Why? Demashma al tov in. Only on the good. Val ra, no. But on the bad, no. Vitna, we learned the Masech Derechot. Hayav adam lebarech ala ra'a, keshem shu mevarech ala tovah. We learned that just like when good things happen to him, a person is supposed to say the berachah v'hatov emetiv. When bad things happen to a person, he has to say dayana emet. He has to make a berachah as well. So then, well, if a person says, only on the good we will say your name, of course, that is not acceptable. Ela, the Gemara does not understand, al kan sipur yagiu rahamecha, mai tama. What's the problem with a person saying that just like your mercy reaches the birds by shooing the mother bird and taking the children, so that's a compassion, so too your mercy should reach us. What's so bad with saying that? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Peligi ba tre amurai. We have a mahluk between two amurai. Bema'araba, Rabbi Yosef bar Abin, Rabbi Yosef bar Zevida. Had amar, mepenesh matil kin'ah b'ma'aseh b'reshit. Because by saying such a thing, you're causing kin'ah, jealousy in the creation. It says, if you're saying, Rashi says, ala ofot has, v'ala behemot v'hayot enu has. Which is, if you're saying that God's compassion only is on the birds. And what about the other animals? V'rahamav al kol ma'asav, the pasuk says. So therefore, you're causing a jealousy, the other animals. Not that the other animals are going to get jealous. But which means you're trying, it's a misrepresentation of the compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say, well, God only has compassion on the birds? No, God has compassion on every animal. So what are you singing out the birds for? Mm-hmm. So that's one reason why that would not be. Because the misrepresentation of the rahamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. The had amar, because you're making the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on compassion. Ve'enam ela gezerot. And they're not based on compassion. The laws that we follow, it's a chok. We follow the law because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So Rashi explains this to me. Ve'enam ela gezerot melech. Le'atir alenu ulo. Borei Olam gave us the law in order to put his yoke on us. Le'hodiya she'anachnu abada b'shomrim mitzvotav. Which means, the reason why we keep the mitzvot is to show that we are loyal servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when you're going to come start now and give reasons that the reason for the Shiluah HaKan is because of Rahamim, no, that might be somewhere in the mitzvah. But the main reason why we do the mitzvah is Gezerot Melech. Then it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. The Ramban says further that if it was all about Rahamim, so then why would we be allowed to slaughter animals? We shouldn't be able to slaughter birds. Aren't we allowed to slaughter birds? Ela, what happened to Rahamim? You see, it's not based on the Rahamim. It's based on Gizrat Melech. So therefore, it's a misrepresentation in the Hashkafa behind the mitzvah. There was a person that came in front of Rabbah. Amar, he said, Ata hasta al kansipor. He said the following prayer. Borei Olam, you have mercy on the birds in the nest. Ata husn rahim alenu. Please, Borei Olam, have compassion on us. Amar Rabbah, so when Rabbah heard this guy making such a prayer, he said, Kamma yada haim rabbanan ritsuyel mare. Oh, how good, how much does this student over in had to appease his master? Because he complimented him. So Amar le Abaye. So Abaye heard Rabbah praising this guy. So Abaye says, Ba'amisha tekiro totenan. So what are you talking about, Rabbi? We learned in the Mishnah, it says you have to silence him. And you're saying, well, what a beautiful prayer. How good he knows how to appease himself to this master. And Rabbi was only trying to sharpen Abaye. He wanted to see how Abaye was going to react. He wanted to see if Abaye remembered the Mishnah. So he says, oh, wow, this is a great prayer. If Abaye would have said, yeah, unbelievable. He said, what do you mean, a great prayer? Well, that'd be a great prayer. The Mishnah says the opposite. So he was testing. He said, ooh, isn't it a beautiful prayer? So Abaye says, what do you mean? It says, Meshach Tekino Toys. Okay, very good. You got it. So he was testing him. So he said, you see what? That a rabbi, if he wants to teach his students, he's allowed to trick him into the halakha in order that the student, will make sure that he knows the right way. There's a story of a fellow that came in front of Rabbi Hanina, Amar. So he was praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Lagadol, Lagibor, Ve'anora, Ha'adir, Ve'ahazak, Ve'amitz. He was praying and he kept on giving more and more praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great, the mighty, the awesome, the glorious, the strong, and the powerful God. So after he finished all this, Amar Le, Sayyamtinu L'Shabahai Demarach. Did you finish? That's it. That's all the praise that you gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is once already going on and on. Well, you have anything else? Did you finish? So he says, Hashtari Tlata. He says, even these three. If it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, because it's a pasuk in the Torah that says, if Moshe didn't write those three, and then subsequently, and if the man of the greatest assembly did not come and establish it and put those three in the Amidah, which is even those three we wouldn't say. Because how can you start praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But once you start, there's no end. Yes. So he says, you're going on and on and on. He says, I want you to tell you something. Even the Gadol Gibor Nora, the only reason why we allow ourselves to say that is because Moshe used those praises in the Torah and the men of the great assembly put it in the Amidah. Ve'at amart kudehai. Oh, and you are saying so much. Mashal adam shedo elef alfei alafim dinarei zahav. Imagine a person that has tens of thousands of gold coins. Ve'yu mekalesin oto dinarei kesef. And how do they praise the guy? Say, wow, how much kesef does he have? How much silver does he have? We're talking about somebody that has millions of gold coins. And you praise him with silver? That's not a praise anymore. Airline says, lo genai hulo? Isn't that a genai? Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much praises. And you come along now, and as if you're giving all the praises. He said seven, eight words. Well, that's it. You finished. As if you went more than the normal text. As if to say, now I gave God the proper praise. Now you finished? It's like praising a millionaire and saying, he has money. Well, money, of course, but money, that's a praise. He's much more. So therefore, we only allow ourselves to say, we only allow ourselves to say Gadol Gibor Nora because of the takana of the men of great assembly. Now, Rashi says over here, interesting. Tekatvinu Moshe baTorah ela Gadol Gibor Nora Ashelu Yisaparim and Chikres the Gadola beSefer Ezra, which is according to Rashi, he's learning that Chikres not in the Amidah. Somebody should learn, yes, the men of the greatest assembly established the Amidah. He's learning, no, the men of the greatest assembly, meaning Ezra Sofer, that wrote those praises in his book. Why, what does it say in Nehemiah? Ve'ata Eloheinu ha'elek gadol gebur v'nora shomer ha'berit v'ha'chesed. So you see that the pasuk. That's how he's learning. Amar Rav Hanina says, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi'irat shamayim. Which means everything is in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu except yirat shamayim. Shene emar ve'ata Yisrael. Ma Hashem Elohecha shoel mi'imach. What is God asking from you? Kiim liyirah. Which is all he's asking is for you to fear him. Which means your fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's up to you. That's the free will to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is not predetermined. How much money a person is going to make, that's already predetermined when he's born. How is he going to be smart? His intellect is already predetermined. His strength is going to be is predetermined. It's like we said, it's patnasa, predetermined. But what? Yirat Shamayim, the fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's up to you. That you have a Yetzirah Tov, you have a Yetzirah Ra, Bihira Chofshi, you choose. And if everything is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu except Yirat Shamayim. So you see that the only control that a person really has on his destiny in life is in religious areas. Because everything else is already, it's a script that's already written, predetermined from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Yirat Shamayim, that's where we manifest our power. So it says, in the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people. What does Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people? What is God asking from you? All God's asking of him what is? To fear him. So it's Mashmah that Yirat Shamayim is a small item. What is he asking from you at the end of the day? Ki'im liyirah. So the Gemara says, Michlal diyirah milta zutretei. What are you telling me, that Yirat Shamayim is a small item, that Moshe Rabbeinu was playing it down when he says, Ki'im liyirah? So the Gemara says, In, yes. Ligabe Moshe Rabbeinu milta zutretehi. Yes, for Moshe, it's a small thing. So all the Maharonim, they ask on this Gemara, what are you talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Bnei Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, right, you have to have Yirat Shamayim. So the Gemara says, oh, Yirat Shamayim is a small thing? Yeah, for Moshe, it's a small thing. Okay, good, but Moshe, you're talking to the people. You're not talking to yourself. So if it's small for Moshe, does that mean it's small for Klal Yisrael? So he saw the explanation like this. Yirat Shamayim is contagious to a certain extent. Like it says in the Megillat Esther that we read, it says, a lot of the Amei Ha'aretz, the Goyim, as a result of the miracle of Purim, converted, because the pachad of Mordechai fell on them. The question is, what do you mean? Why were they scared of Mordechai? When Mordechai exuded pachad to the people? He says, no. Mordechai's pachad was Yirat Shamayim. His pachad was pachad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But his pachad HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so strong, it almost overflowed from him and went on to the other people. Ki nafal pachad Mordechai alehim. It's like a kettle that's overflowing with hot water, and it spreads all over everything, and it spills over everybody else. Ki nafal pachad Mordechai alehim. Which means, when a person's around somebody that has a lot of Yirat Shamayim, it also affects you. And that's a very easy way to acquire Yirat Shamayim. Just stay around people that have great Yirat Shamayim, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself also having Yirat Shamayim. And that's what the Gemara is saying. In, yes, legabe Moshe, to those that are close to Moshe, it's easy. And who was Moshe talking to? To the Dor HaMidbar. Where was the Dor HaMidbar? They were hanging by Moshe Rabbeinu. So then for that generation, it's a milta zutrete. Comes Gabaran, gives an example. Mashal le adam shevakshim imenu kli gadol veyeshlo, which means imagine somebody comes and asks you for a big vessel, and you have it. If you have it to give it to him, dome alav kli katan. So to the person that's giving it, it's like a small vessel to him because he has it. When you have something big to you, it's nothing. Yeah, take it. However, katan veinlo. However, if somebody asks you for a small vessel and you don't have it, that already is like you're asking for a big vessel. Because if you don't have the small vessel, so it's like you're asking for a big thing. So the same with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he has Yirat Shamayim. So Yirat Shamayim to him is a small thing. So therefore to Moshe, he says, yeah, it's a mash. But if you don't have it, even something that's small would be considered a big situation. Look at the Tosafot here for a second, the second Tosafot. Actually, the third Tosafot. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mirat shamayim kashe. Da'a beperek elu ne'arot amrin hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzilin upachim. We have another Gemara in Ketubot that says everything is bidei shamayim except hot and cold. So the person goes outside and he doesn't bundle up, protect himself, you can't say, well, it's when a shamayim I got sick. No. Cold and hot, that already you control. You want to protect yourself from the cold, or you want to protect yourself from the hot? So what do you mean over here? It says, according to the Shemaim, Yehosh Ben HaChamayim. It says, V'nir'eh da'achamayri betodat ha'adam. Over here it's talking about the events that happened to a person in his life. Imi hacham, or tipesh, ani, or ashir, gibor, or halash, da'akol nigzar alav. All your situation of life is already predetermined, chutz min ha'yir'ah. Except for Yirak Kedichtiv, Al Yitalel Ashir Be'oshro V'Gibur B'Gburato Ki Im Bezot Yitalel Metalel. The only thing you can take praise in that you accomplished in your life is what? Haskel V'Yadoh Ha'oti. That you know me. That you accomplished Yirat Shamayim. However, Atam Ma'ari B'Mu'ra'ot Ta'adam Ha'atidot Labo Elav. Tachash Shinodat. Which means, the Tzininim Pachim Gemara, it says, Akol B'Yidah Shamayim, that's referring to things after he's born. Which means that our Gemara Kobe Dislam Chosmin HaTzomam is discussing before a person is born, before he came to this world, everything is already predetermined, except his Yirat Shamayim. That other Gemara is saying, Kobe Dislam, now after you're born into this world, all the events that happen in a person's life, they're also already predetermined by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chosmin Tzininu Pachim, except when he puts himself in a position of Tzininu Pachim. So one is before birth, so to speak, and one is after. So it's two different. Two different gemariot. That the mighty be more out of the marati dot the boy of a harsh and all that. Shegam him be the shamayim. Chut mislinu pachim. Pirush hakor vahom. Okay? Velo kashe mahadektiv lifne karato mi yamod. The pasuk says, in front of God's cold, the coldness of a gemar, who's able to stand? I thought you said, Kol bide shamayim, chut mislinu pachim. That's in your control to, that's the smash that's out of your control. Who can stand in front of the coldness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Da'achim pirusho, im yishalechenu bepam achat. Jeez, you're right, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends all the coldness in 1 second, then you're right, nobody was able to withstand it. But he doesn't do that. He sends the coldness in measure, therefore a person is able to protect himself. We have another pasuk that says nobody can protect himself from the heat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought you just said that heat is under your control. Let's talk about somebody that's on the road. A person that gets caught on the road, it's out of your control. How are you going to protect yourself? You're in the middle of the desert, walking. But so long as you're in your house, of course there's a way to protect yourself. Go sit in the shade, go protect yourself from the heat. Therefore, these things are in your control. Comes the Gemara and says, this is a stomach question that the Mefarshim ask. If everything is Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mirat Shamayim, how then can we pray for Yirat Shamayim? Which many times, for example, the Tefillah we say, we want to fear you. What do you mean? Borei Olam should answer that Tefillah and say, listen, you can pray for anything you want. Pray for the stuff that that God's in charge of. But you're praying for stuff that you're in charge of? Go handle it. How do we have Tefillot for Yirat Shamayim? So the Mefashim answer that, Adrabah, I have free will. I can pray for anything I want. I'm using my free will of prayer to pray for Yirat Shamayim. That's my strategy. You're right, Yirat Shamayim is in my department, so now I have a tool. It's called Tefillah. I can use Tefillah for 1 in a million different items. So I choose to use the power of Tefillah to pray for something that's important to me. For Yirat Shamayim. So Borei Olam answers a Tefillah for Yirat Shamayim. So you have to pray that you should have Yirat Shamayim. That's a... It's not a stira that could be the Shamayim. Adrabah. You Tefillah is Bidei Adam. You're activating the Yirat Shamayim through your efforts. Amar Bizira Haomer Shema Shema. A person that says Shema Shema, he says Shema twice. Ke Omer Modim Modim Dami. It's similar to saying Modim Modim. Same concept as if you Hashem Shalom, you're accepting upon yourself two deities. Meti Ve. The Gemara says, we need to have a question. Hakoret Shema Vechofla. A person that says Shema and repeats it. Harezim Migune. She's Migune means it's. It's not nice, right? It's disgraceful, the way he says. Megunehu dahavi. It's just disgraceful. However, shetuke lo meshetekinan. But it's not so serious that you have to keep the guy quiet. By modim modim, we said meshetekinotom. So we're saying you should know. Shema shema is the same thing. No, we have a statement differently. The statement by shema shema says it's megune. It's disgraceful. But smash ba disgraceful here. But you don't have to silence the guy. So the Gemara says depends. Lo kasha ha da amar milta milta vetani la. If a person says Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, meaning every word he repeats, just doubling it, so that guy, it's disgraceful. So what are you praying? You pray the proper way. How do you pray the Shema? However, if he says the whole pasuk and then repeats it, then already mishatikinoto. Because then already it's masra, you're praying to one God, and hazzul, you're repeating the whole pasuk again and praying to another God. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Amar milta milta vetanila kol teva omer veshone. Which means that she says when a guy just repeats Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, it's like an imbecile. It's just foolish. What are you doing? You're a fool. But it's not. You say the whole pasuk. It's like you're referring to one, and then you say the pasuk again to refer to others. So that's the way you silence the person. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If a guy repeats the pasuk Kriyat Shema twice, why is that so bad? V'dilma me'ikara lo chiven date. Maybe the first time he didn't have kavana when he said the pasuk. V'ashta kiven date. And if we repeat it, now he has kavana. What doesn't happen sometimes? The person says the pasuk, he was daydreaming. So he repeats it. So maybe that's why b'shatikinoto. Why right away you say the guy's, has two gods. So the Gemara says, Amar le havruta kila peshmaya. What is that? Kadosh Baruch Hu, your friend? Which means when you talk to your friend, you don't think. But when you're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have kavanah. We don't accept such a thing over here that a person could say a pasuk and then have kavanah and then repeat it because it's not kavanah. So the rabbi goes to the extent and says, "Ilo mechaven darte." Says, "You know what? If I find a guy that doesn't have kavanah in the pasuk, ma'ina le be'arzaftad de nafha. I'll take a blacksmith's hammer and hit him on the head. Ad mechaven darte until he has kavanah." She says, "No jokes over here. You tell me, maybe you didn't have kavanah. Maybe that's who's he talking to? You talking to your friend? You talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So if God doesn't have kavanah, you hit him on the head with a hammer until he's able to be mechaven." Look at Rashi. Havruta kelapesh maya vechi kemenhag chaveronu heg by Kadosh Baruch Hu dabel lefanav shelo mitkaven vechozeru malelo bekoflo shelo kivim rishona. Then you repeat the sentence again to show that you didn't have kavanah the first time. Marzafta martil. That's a hammer. Vatasim et hamekevet that can find. So that's that. Gemara comes. The Gemara continues and says, "Hamchane ba'arayot b'shentikinoto." If a person studies the parasha ba'arayot in a euphemism, which means we said he doesn't study it literally, that's referring to relations. He learns it in a euphemism. Wow. Tanan of Yosef kelon abid vekalon imo. He says the shame of his mother and shame of his father. Instead of learning Eidvat, I mean the relation, he does know you shouldn't reveal your father's embarrassment in public or your mother's embarrassment in public. If a person explains the pasuk that you're not allowed to give your son over to the Molech Avodah Zarah, Tana the Bid of Yisrael, B'Yisrael Abal HaKutit, V'Avolid Mimena Ben La'Avodah Zarah Katub Edaber, which means he's learning the pasuk that of a Yisrael that came with a kutit, with a goya, and had a son for Avodah Zarah. That's what he's explaining. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk means, well, don't give over your child to the molech. But he's misinterpreting it to mean, do not have relations with a goya, and have a child that subsequently is going to be given over to Avodah Zarah. So in that case, Meshetekin Oto Bin Zifa, because we said that he's misinterpreting the punishment. Right, he's giving a punishment of karet to Baal HaKutit, which is not the case. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah basically is going to tell us, we learned that in the olden days it was a custom that not only did they read Sefer Torah, but they would also read Mitargim. Mitargim is they would have an interpretation in Aramaic, a Tirgum. The people in the olden days really weren't fluent in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, so they needed an interpreter to come along and give them the translation of the Pesukim. That was called the Tirgum. Now, certain chapters in the Torah, because they may be misinterpreted, if you don't study them bi'ayun, deep, so the rabbis did not want you to interpret them. Because the interpretation would be too superficial, and the people would come to the wrong conclusions. So certain pesukim in the Torah, they said, do not interpret them at all. The Gemara explains that. Mishnah explains. Ma'aseh Reuven, we know that's the story of Reuven, where he switched his father's bed. He moved it out of Leah's tent and put it in he moved it out of Bilhaz's tent and he put it in the Az tent. Well, he did it to protect his mother, but the way the Torah says it is Vayishkav Reuven. Reuven was with his father's concubine that he slept with Bilha. Now the Gemara Shevat says Chas v'Shalom, don't take that literally. Kulamin Reuven Hata Eno Ela Tu'e. But if you're just going to interpret the pasuk literally when it says Vayishkav Reuven et Bilha, so the people are going to get the wrong impression. So the Gemara Shevat says Ma'aseh Reuven Nikra Velo Mitargim. Look at the first Rashi, second line and wide line. Vayishkav et Bilha Pilegish Abiv Nikra We're concerned about the embarrassment of Reuben. People are going to get the wrong impression. Good. The story of Yehuda and Tamar. We know that story. That was the case where Yehuda went on the road and saw a lady and went with her, and later she got pregnant, and later was recognized that it was really his daughter-in-law. And this parasha can be misinterpreted that Yehuda just went with a strange lady on the street. So, but still the Mishnah says, "Mitargem, you interpret it." We'll see why. Are we not concerned about the embarrassment that can come out? The egel is referred to twice in the Torah. Ma'ase egel rishon, ma'ase egel sheni. There was only one egel in the Torah, but it's repeated twice. The first time the Torah tells us as it happened, then the second time it tells us as Aharon was telling Moshe the events. So the second egel you read, but you don't interpret. Because in the second egel, Aharon says, and I threw the gold in the fire, v'yetzeh ha'egel hazeh. It's mashma that the egel had power. I mean, he threw it into the fire, it just came out by itself. So we don't get the people to misinterpret, to think that there's credence, tavodah zarah. So for the second egel of Aharon's repeating it, we do not say over. Look at Rashi, third line, ma'ase egel rishon. Kol parashat ha'egel ad v'ashlicheu ba'esh. Uma sha'azar Aharon v'sipera ma'aseh ukarui ma'ase egel ha'sheni. That's when Aharon repeated it. Shekatubo v'yetze ha'egel hazeh. V'lo yitergem, do not interpret it. Why? Pen yitrua me'aretz v'yomru mamash hayabo. There must have been some credence to this avodah zarah. She yatzah me'elav. Right, the pasuk, the egel came out by itself. The pasuk, we're not worried about that because they don't understand Hebrew, so you can read it. However, the targum, we're concerned about. Next thing, Birkat Kohanim. This is the Birkat Kohanim, which is, we know the pasuk. Kote Baruch Ben Eisim, Parashat Naso, Maase David veAmnon. David's son was Amnon, and he went and he committed a violation with his half sister. All right, so therefore, the Torah does not want us to. You can read it as Haftarah, David ve'Amnon, but do not interpret it, because it's be a zilzul for David HaMelech, that his son committed an immoral act. Now, Nikra'in v'lo mitargimin, en maftirin b'merkaba. When it comes to Ma'aseh Merkaba, that's the book of Yehezkel, we do not read that as a Haftarah. The Rabbi Yehuda matir, that's it's okay. Rabbi Elazar omer, en maftirin behoda et Yerushalayim. There's a chapter in Yehezkel, it's called Hoda'i Yerushalayim, it's called To'aboteha. Go tell the people of Jerusalem all their To'aboteha, all the abominable things that they do. So they were out of Kavod for Yerushalayim, he says we don't read that chapter. And the Gemara is going to explain each one. And we start. There's three stages. There's certain parashiyot that we read and we interpret. There's other parashiyot that we read and we don't interpret. And there's other parashiyot we don't read them and we don't interpret them. So three levels. We'll see the Gemara is giving us a new level. Elu nikhrin umetargimim. Actually, the Gaon Mevilna takes those words out. He takes out those words, lo nikhrin velo metargimim. Because we didn't have that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah only gave us the case that you read and interpret or read and don't interpret. So the Gaon takes out that last section of Gaon Mevilna. Let's look at the Gaon first. Aleph, v'yesh lo nikrim v'lo mitargimin tevot elu mehukim. He takes it out. Okay. Ma'aseh Egel, we saw that. Okay. Comes the Gemara. Balat akan neshve siman. The Gemara is going to give a siman, a mnemonic for all the following cases. When we start of Ma'aseh Bereshit, nikra u'mitargim. Okay, we start. That's the bit. Ma'aseh Bereshit. Right in the beginning of the creation, you read it and you interpret it. Why shouldn't I interpret it? What's the hadush? It was pshita. Why not? Ma'u detem atu leshiyule ma'le ma'la uma lemata, which means a person by starting to study Ma'aseh Bereshit, he might start asking questions: what's above and what's below? Which means now a person will start saying the heavens. Well, in the heavens, we know there's angels. What's on top of the angels? Right. Now already you're getting into esoteric discussions and philosophical things, or what's below the heads of the angels? And the Gemara Chagigah says, one's not allowed to ponder these questions. It's better if he didn't come to the world, if he's going to come and start pondering these things. So we're worried that maybe if he'll interpret Ma'aseh Bereshit, it'll lead him to start asking these type of questions. Again, ma'le ma'ala ma'le mata, what's above the heads of the hayot, the angels, what's below them? Ma'lifnim u'ma'le achor. This means over here, what happened before the creation of the world, and what's going to happen after the world's going to be destroyed. And nobody can know what was Hashem doing before He created the world. These questions are beyond us, right? So therefore, you might think that's what Tosfot explains. Let me learn a little differently.
Second two, yes.
The first explanation of Tosfot, he's learning ma lifni ma lachor. If you go all the way to the east of the world, what happens at the end of the world, in the east or to the west? Means you want to know what's beyond the borders of this world. Or he says, what's going to happen before the world was created, and what's going to happen after? This is already questions that you shouldn't ask. It's okay that we still allow you to read the Maaseh Bereshit, and we're not worried about that a person might be led to ask these type of philosophical questions. Maaseh Lot Ushte Benotav, the story of Lot and his two daughters. The story of Lot was when they destroyed the city of Sodom. Lot and his two daughters went and they hid out in a cave. The daughters of Lot got Lot drunk and they had an ancestral relationship with their father. So the Gemara says, Nekra umitargim. You read it and you interpret it. Peshita says, well, why not? Why shouldn't I interpret it? Now the Temani Hoshtechbodod Abraham. Not worried about Lot and his children saying what they did. But Lot was the nephew of Avraham Abinu. So that might make like Avraham look bad. Look kind of nephew he has over here. He has ancestral relationship. So I might think to protect Avraham Abinu's kavod, maybe don't say the story of Lot. Kamash malan, that it's okay. Which means this is Lot's situation. This is not Avraham's situation. It has no bearing on Avraham. Or we could say further that the daughters of Lot were the Shem Shamayim. Because they really thought the world was destroyed. They had intentions to procreate, and you see what Elam rewarded them. Ruta Moaviyah came from this relationship. Na'ama Amunit, that was Shlomo HaMelech's, that was David HaMelech's wife, came from this relationship. And therefore you see what? I'm sorry, Shlomo's wife, Na'ama, the mother of Rehavam. So therefore you see what? We have the Shem Shamayim. That's why you could read it. Yeah, no problem. You might have thought it's a disparaging thing to Avraham Avinu. Kamash Ma'alan. No, they were the Shem Shamayim. They had the good intention. And you see from the product that came out of it that they had. Kamash Ma'alan Shem Shamayim. Ma'asit Tamar v'Yehuda. The story of Tamar, when he went with Yehuda, you read it and you interpret it. Peshita. Why not? Says Maud, the temple of Yehuda. I've got to be worried about maybe the kavod of Yehuda. After all, he went with a strange lady. Kamash Ma'alan Shevche. It's his praise to read this parasha. Why? Who? The Odi, because he admitted it. She's after Yehuda saw this his daughter-in-law pregnant, so he thought that she committed adultery. So they brought her to Betin. So Yehuda then realized after the signs were given over that he was now the father. He could have denied it. He could have said, well, you know, we don't anybody know what the father is over here. And he could have just covered up the evidence. And what did Yehuda do? He admitted. He said, Sadeka, she's right, Mimini. And therefore, Adraba, when you read that parasha, it's the praise of Yehuda that he admitted that he was the father. Ma'asi Egel Arishon Nekra Mitargim. The first story of the Egel, you read it and you interpret it. Peshita. Ma'udetem al Yehoshik Modan Shri Israel. So I might have thought that what? It's disparaging to Israel that they did an Egel. So I have to worry about the Kavod of Israel. Maybe you shouldn't interpret it. Kamash Ma'alan Koshechen Dini Halehu Da'avyulu Kapara. Adraba. It's better for Klai said that we read it to embarrass them because they want the Kapara. When you read that story and it puts Am Yisrael in a bad light, so it's Kapara for the Egel. So therefore, Adraba, it's good for the Bnei Yisrael to read this parasha because it is a Kapara because every generation shares in the punishment of the Egel. So therefore, Adraba, we want the Kapara to come quick. So therefore, we read it. But the second Egel, that's when Aharon repeated it. That's what we said. Where he says, and I threw the gold in the fire. Vayitzea Egel Azeh. That can be misinterpreted as if the Egel had powers. So that we don't want to misinterpret, mislead the people into that. Okay, the Kelalot and the Berachot, right? In Parashat Kitavo, we have the curses, Parashat Chukotai and the Berachot. Nikriin u'mitargimin. You read them and you interpret them also. Peshita, well, why not? Of course, Pashut. Maudetim and Yechosh Dilma. Maybe according to the Hagot Abach, we're going to read now over here. The Gemara says over here, Berachot nikriin u'mitargimin. So he's the Bach is learning first the text of Berachot. We read the Berachot. Neklinu mitergimin peshita ma'od etimah nihosh dilma atulim me'abad me'ahaba umira, which means I might come to serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu now for the reward. When you start seeing all the Berachot that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives, it might cause a person instead of serving Hakadosh Baruch Hu because he's obligated to do the mitzvot. It might cause him, when he sees all the reward that'll serve God, me'ahava, meaning me'ahavat aschar, from the reward, from the love of the reward. Umi'ir'ah, which is, and now when he sees all the curses, so he's going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of fear of punishment. And that's a low level. Okay, continue that gotabah. Azarot ve'onshin. Now azarot is the warnings of the Torah, the onshin and the punishments of the Torah, niklinu mitargemin. You read it and you interpret it. Peshita, ma'udetema ni'ush dilma faigat da'atid disibura. You might think that when they hear about all the punishments that the Torah gives, what's going to happen? The people are going to get scared and they're going to become, they're going to give up hope. Their heart is going to become, or their mind is going to become weak. So to speak, they're going to say, we have no shot. Which means we've transgressed these already, and now look at all the punishment that we're going to get, and they're going to give up. So it might be better not to interpret these pesukim, because they're going to become weak on it. As she says, third line, Yahlosh Da'atan. Kishishmi'u shiyu ni'anashim. Right, when they hear the punishment's going to come, they're going to get depressed. Ve'yomru, tov li'anot min ha'olam hazeh b'chod ratzonenu, ve'il v'sofo v'sofenu li'anesh. That might, you know what? Might as well enjoy ourselves. Because anyway, we're going to get punished. So therefore, it might lead them to the wrong conclusion. You know, enjoy yourself. But, what are you going to do? You get punished anyway. Comes the Gemara and says, Ma'aseh Amnon v'tamar. Continue the Gemara. Ma'aseh Amnon v'tamar, nekla v'mitargim. The story of Amnon and Tamar, you read it, and you interpret it. Ma'aseh Avshalom. Avshalom was the story where he slept with his father's concubines. So you read that and you interpret it as well. Why not? Maybe I have to be concerned about the kavod of David HaMelech, that his children did these type of practices. That it is okay. It's no reflection on David HaMelech. So the Gemara says, "Maaseh Pilegish beGivaa." The story of Pilegish beGivaa, Nikrao mitargim. What's Pilegish beGivaa? Pilegish beGivaa is the story of when the tribe of Binyamin, they took somebody else's Pilegish, concubine, and they violated her the whole night. And then, as a result of them committing the act with her, she died. So this is a very, very negative story. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, why shouldn't you be able to mitargim?" Maybe I got to worry about the kavod of Binyamin, the tribe. You're derogatory towards Binyamin. Kamash ma'alan? No, maybe like before, like we said, it's considered a kapara. And better that we read it in order that it's like a kapara for them. Comes the Gemara and says, second white line, Hoda et Yerushalayim to'aboteha, which means the haftara that talks about the abominations of Jerusalem. Nikla umetargim. You read it and you interpret it. It's peshita. Well, why not? La pukeh mit Rabbi Eliezer. To exclude the Rabbi Eliezer. Because remember we learned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that hodat Yerushalayim et to'avoteha. You don't see, because it's giving disparaging information about Jerusalem. So the Gemara says, you would have thought that maybe we go like Rabbi Eliezer. Kamash wala? No. You could read the Haftarah. The Tanya, Ma'aseh ba'adam mechad she'yakuleh lema'alam Rabbi Eliezer, Hodat Yerushalayim et to'avoteh. There was a fellow that was reading the Haftarah of Hodat Yerushalayim et to'avoteh in front of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lo, ad she'ata bodek be'to'avot Yerushalayim, se'ubdok be'to'avot emecha. Before you start going looking at the flaws of Jerusalem, why don't you go look at the flaws of your own lineage, of your mother? Which means if you're disparaging Jerusalem, so there must be something wrong with your lineage. But Kua Harav, they went and checked him, Umatsubo Shemitz Pasul. And sure enough, they found that he came from questionable Psul, meaning lineage. You don't read about this in public, the bad things of Jerusalem. So you might have thought that before Rabbi Eliezer, Kamashwala, no. You can read that. Haftarah, comes the Gemara and says, Ve'el mikra'im v'lo mitargim. The following items, you read them, but you do not mitargim. Ma'aseh Reuven, the story of Reuven, nekra v'lo mitargim. U'ma'aseh b'ribi harina ben gamliya shalach le'kabul. He went to Kabul, ve'aya kore hazar Knesset, and the hazar of the Bet Knesset read the following pasuk, ve'hi b'shkon Yisrael. That's the beginning of the pasuk that it says, ve'yelech Reuven, ve'yishkav et bilha. Right, he went with Bilha, and the end of the pasuk says, "Vayihiyu bnei Yisrael shenem asar." So the rabbi told him, "Don't explain the middle of the pasuk. Just explain the end of the pasuk. Vayihiyu bnei Yisrael shenem asar, that the Jewish the tribes numbered 12. Va'amar lo lemeturgeman al tetargem ela acharon. Don't interpret only the end of the pasuk, because the middle of the pasuk talks about Reuven going with his concubine. So he warned us, listen, don't give that middle of the pasuk. Just go to the end. V'shibhu hachamim, and hachamim praised them, which means that was a proper behavior. Ma'aseh aigel hasheni nikra velo mitargim. So the Gemara says, "Ezu ma'aseh aigel hasheni." What's considered aigel hasheni? Where does that start from? Aigel hasheni, the second repetition of the aigel. Min vayomer Moshe ad vayar Moshe. Okay, it's giving you the pesukim where it starts. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer le'olam ye'adam zehid b'tshubotav. First, be very careful the way he answers. Shebetok teshuvah shivu aron le Moshe. Pakru ha-me'ar'irim. She's from Haron's answer, the way he talked about the Egel, he gave a mouth for the me'ar'irim, the cynics, and the ones that want to question, to now become, to be poker. Meaning to huh?
It says agitate.
To agitate them now, which means to make them now question the Torah. Shneimar v'ashlicheu ba'esh. Aaron says, I put it in the fire. V'yetzeh ha'egel hazeh. So now it's mashma. Now you can say, see, look at that. The eagle has strength. It says Aaron put it in the fire and it came out by itself. So then we have to be careful how you answer, because she can give your cynics, fuel for them to question the Torah. Birkat Kohanim, the klipa lo mitargimin. The Birkat Kohanim, you read it, but you don't interpret it. Why not? My tama v'shub dechtiv yisa, because the pasuk says yisa Hashem panav. Now, which means Borei Olam will favor Kla Yisrael. Now, the people don't understand it. They say, what? There's favoritism? I thought God doesn't favor anybody. God is emit. You don't show any favoritism. But they're not going to know what the Gemara Berachot says. Because the Gemara Berachot says that, of course, I'm going to favor Am Yisrael. Because I told them that ve'akalta ve'sabarta ve'rakta, that if you eat and you're satiated, you make Birkat HaMazon. And they're mahvir to make Birkat HaMazon on a kizayit and a kibetza. She's them mahmir on what I said. So I shouldn't show them favoritism. So therefore, there's a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us favoritism, because we're medekdek in the mitzvot to the letter of the law. But a regular guy doesn't understand that. So Hashem will show favoritism to Am Yisrael. So, what do you mean? Hashem lo yisapanim. Stira, it says that God doesn't show favoritism. So, you know what? Read Birkat Kohanim, but do not interpret it, because the people are not going to understand the favoritism pasuk. Ma'aseh David ve'amnon. We're going back to the Ma'aseh David ve'amnon. Nikra ve'lo mitargim. That's the way we learned it in the Mishnah. Yeah, the Gaon of Vilna changes it. So nikra ve'lo mitargem. So you read it, but you don't interpret it. We just learned above that the Amnon and Tamar story, you do read and interpret. So make up your mind: is the Amnon and Tamar story yes interpreted or not interpreted? So it was lakashya. Ha dechtiv Amnon ben David. Ha dechtiv Amnon stama. She's the pesukim that call Amnon the son of David. Don't read those pesukim, because it's disparaging to David. But the pesuk that just calls him Amnon Stam, that pesuk you can read. So any pesuk that connects him to David HaMelech, we don't want to read. Taru Rabbanan, kol ha-mikraot ha-ktubim b'Torah lignai, any pesuk where the Torah uses a verse that is not a nice verse, he calls it indelicate verse, which is it's a strong language, korin otan l'shevach. So what we do is we change the word, even though it's written in the Torah in the harsh word, but we don't want to read harsh words. So we change the word to a more delicate word. Now the Gemara is going to give us examples. What are the examples? Kegon yishgalena, which is a strong word. It's talking about if somebody has relations, but that's a strong lashon to say it. So instead of yishgalena, we say yishgabena, which is much less. It says isha taris. There's a person who's going to get married to a lady. The isha ahed yishgalena, and another man is going to be with her. But that's a strong language. So instead of yishgalena, it's yishgabena. We'll just lie with her. Ba'polin, right? The pasuk that uses the word ba'polin, we change it to batechorim. Okay, this pasuk over here is referring to the backside of a person. Like he says over here, the anus of a person. But tehorim is less explicit. So therefore, instead of using the more explicit word, we use the more clean word. Hedyonim, dibyonim. Instead of the word hedyonim, we use dibyonim. Where was that pasuk used? That was somewhere there was a famine. Okay, and it says that rova kav hedyonim, they were selling. There was such a famine, they were selling a quarter of a calf of Heryonim, which literally means the dove's dung. They were so hungry that they were selling dove's dung for to eat. So it says that they changed that instead of hiryonim to dibyonim. It's more, dibyonim is what flows from the dove. It's a nicer way of saying, instead of calling it exactly what it is. Le'echol et horehim. It was a generation that said they're going to eat their horehim, what comes out of their holes. I mean, the holes is referring to the backside of a person. Vilishtot et mimeh shinehim. Right? And they're going to drink the what comes out of their shinaim. Shinaim is the teeth. Because in the backside of a person, there's like teeth. And therefore, the shinaim, they call them. But that's very explicit. They're going to eat their own feces. So it says, le'echol et so'atam. Instead of saying choreim, which implies the anus of a person, so it says so'atam, the so'ah that comes out. V'nishtot et mimeh raglehim. And the water that comes from between their legs. Again, less explicit. Lemochra'ot lemotza'ot. What's that pasuk? That's referring to the idol called Baal. So it says it was torn down and made into mochra'ot. Mochra'ot comes from chor. Chor is going to refer to the backside of a person. But they turned it into mochra'ot. So that's not it's a strong language. So we change it to motza'ot, to what comes out of a person. Motza'ot, what extricated from a person. So it comes again what Rabbi Yehoshua Mikor Ha'omer, lemochra'ot kishman. Now, when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, what we did to the Baal, you don't have to change the word to make a nice word. Say, we turned it into Mochra'ot. We turned it into the actual word. Why? Because over here, we're embarrassing the Avodah Zarah. It's a mitzvah to embarrass the Avodah Zarah. Amar of Nachman, kol litzanuta asira, bar min litzanuta da Avodat kochavim de sharia. All litzanut. I mean, you really don't have to mock and make fun. But the only mockery that's permissible is to make fun of the Avodah Zarah, which is, this is permissible. And the Gemara gives an example. Dichtiv, Kara Bel, Kores Nebo. Bel is the name of Avodah Zarah. So they were making fun of it. They said, Bel Kara, which means he squats, and Nebo splashes. What is this referring to? They're making the example as if the Avodah Zarah had to go to the bathroom, and they were constipated. So Kara Bel. This is the Avodah Zarah Bel squatted not to go to the bathroom, but they couldn't go to the bathroom like a normal person. So what happened? Kores Nevo. It causes it to splash, not like a normal person. This translation from the translation Isaiah, that what? It's ridicules upon the idols, liking them to one who cannot contain the movement of his bowels, but discharges with a splash. Uchtiv. So we're making fun of them. Karsu Kar'u Yahdav. Which is they splash, they squat together. Avodah Zarah. Lo yachlum malet masa. They could not deliver the burden, which means they were constipated. They couldn't deliver the burden that they had, and therefore we're making letzanut of them. They could not discharge the feces in their bowels as others discharge in the normal manner. Rabbi Yanai Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yanai learns from over here that the Avodah Zarah, you can make fun of them. Le'eglot bet avin yaguru shechan shomron. Literally means, because of the calves of Bet Avin, the inhabitants of Shomron will be afraid when they hear that. So he explains like this. Ki aval alav amo uchmarav alav yagilu. Its people mourn over it, and likewise its priests who had rejoiced over it. Al kevodo ki gala mimenu. For its glory that departed from it. So now they explain the pasuk. Al tikri kevodo ela kevedo. Don't read the glory was taken from it, but its burden was taken from it. Which means, the revised pasuk means like this. And the priest would have rejoiced over the voiding of its burden. Which means that Avodah Zarah had a lot of burden in it. Feces. So when were the priests going to rejoice? When the kevedo, when it's able to unburden itself from its feces. So now the priests are happy. The Avodah Zarah it relieved itself. So we're making fun of the Avodah Zarah, that the priests are happy when the Avodah Zarah is able to relieve itself. Amar Rav Huna bar Manoah, Meshmed Rav Habere, Derav Ika. Shari le lebar Yisrael lememar le leovde kochavim. You're allowed to tell a goy, Shakle la'avodat kochavim. Take your avodah zarah ve'anhe b'shin tav. Put it in the shin tav. What is shin tav? So that she says over here that the letter shin and tav form the word. Well, actually, that's the. Yeah, that's what she. From the word shet, shin, taf, which means over here, he explains the buttocks. Which means you're telling the guy, take your Avodah Zarah and put it in the shin, taf. Put it over there. That she says, Lashon, Vahashufe, shet, aru, advat, mislai. Right? You tell the guy, take your Avodah Zarah and put it over there. The Gemara continues, which means you're allowed to make fun of the Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Ashi, hay man disnai shumane, somebody that has a sullied reputation, which means he's a reputed adulterer, which is he does it over and over again. Shari le bazuye begimel vishin. You can embarrass him with the comment of Gimel Anshin. What is Gimel Anshin? So that she explains from the Teshuvat Geonim, Gimel represents Bar Girta, son of an adulteress. And the Sheen stands for Shema Sarya, a putrid name, which means you're allowed to embarrass even his mother that bore him. You're the son of an adulteress. I mean, Bar Girta. And Shema Sarya, the woman, a putrid name. That's Sheen and by Gimel Anshin, Giruta, the son of an adulteress, and Shema Sarya, right? Your name is putrid. Now, others explain over here, is the Gimel is Giyufa, adulterer, and the Shin stands for Shaita Shatya, meaning you imbecile. Hafetz Chaim says, we're only talking about somebody that's a repeat offender, and that he constantly transgresses the mitzvot, and therefore he's known. However, if it's just rumors, you cannot go start embarrassing somebody with these type of names. The Gemara concludes, Hayman de Shapir Shumaneh, somebody that has a good reputation, Shari le Shabuhay, it's permissible to praise him. You might think that you can't praise him, maybe because from praising a person you come to say his shortcomings. No, you're allowed to praise him. Uman the shabhe, and the one that praises the people that have good reputations, yanu holo berachot al rosho, which means the berachot should be resting upon his head. Hadran alach hakoreh omid.